This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman.
On News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington. Happy Friday to you, September 9th, 2016, or if you're waking up with us on Saturday morning the 10th, glad that you are joining us here on WGCL. Jim Inman flying solo this week. It has been a very hectic week for a variety of folks, and I've got you for the next little bit as I get things adjusted here on the monitors. Apologies for that. Dr. Pillar was in last week, of course, along with Julie Warren. We had a great show last week, and we did a short show Friday because of Chalk Talk with high school football coming up at 6:30. And apparently there was a travel issue with our team that came into town last week, and so the Bloomington Review went a little bit over last Friday evening. So if you heard some weird stuff and saying, oh, it's only on Saturday or whatever, apologies for that. One of the last minute glitches of travel issues. And we'll be talking a little bit about travel issues throughout the next several minutes. It has been a, I don't really know what the word is for it. It's not hectic. It's not surprising for sure. Troublesome, concerning, frustrating. Let's play thesaurus here. The situation with Highway 37 as it evolves into I-69 has been statewide news. And I honestly wonder if it won't make national news at some point as well, with all the challenges that have been taking place in this most recent construction situation. We'll talk about that over the next little bit, including the two accidents that took place last Friday and earlier this week that involved multiple vehicles. But we're going to be on a positive note, and there's a lot of news to cover in the next little bit, plus plenty of fun things to get scheduled as well. We had hoped to get Vanessa McClary on. She is with the Indiana Kiwanis Balloon Fest, which is starting off this weekend, or is this weekend, I should say. But our schedules didn't coordinate for Vanessa to come in and get a pre-recorded interview and getting in here live and all of that. So it is. We're going to highlight a little bit about the Kiwanis Balloon Fest taking place Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, today, tomorrow, and Sunday. And hopefully our listeners get out there and check it out at the Monroe County Fairgrounds. Highly recommend going out in the early morning, if at all possible. Get up at 5:30, just throw on a baseball cap and a light wrap, as Dr. Pillar calls it, and head out to the west side of town to the fairgrounds and see those balloons take off. It really is pretty amazing to see. And then the evening experiences as well, as the balloons are on the ground. They're going to do some tethered rides. Lee Greenwood kicked it off for the opening ceremony. So it's just, it's a very family-friendly event. Lots of good stuff. A lot of educational experiences as well. So that is taking place this weekend out at the Monroe County Fairgrounds. Next week, if all goes according to plan, Dana Thompson will be back on the show. She was with us last year about this time to discuss the Walk to End Alzheimer's. That's taking place next weekend on the 18th. So Dana hopefully will be back in the studio to join us. I've also reached out to Public Information Sergeant Kurt Durnell with the Indiana State Police. Again, as we will talk about in the news over the next little bit, it has been a challenging situation for many different things in our community. And there'll be a little bit of philosophy going on as well in this hour. I apologize in advance, but I think it's something to definitely consider and talk about. And just the number of situations, the increased police support that is so desperately needed, and we are seeing in certain areas. So we'll talk a little bit about that over the next hour or so. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview is where you can find out all kinds of good information about the program. And, of course, WGCLradio.com. We're streaming over there 24/7, so you can check us out there and follow us, like us, all of that good stuff. And, of course, at WGCL Radio if you are on the Twitter. This weekend is also the 15th anniversary of 9/11, and it is humbling to think, as a 40-year-old, that there is a new generation who did not live through in that pre-9/11 world. And it was, in looking back, it was tremendously different. And I'm sure that many people my age and a few years younger and definitely older will remember the exact location where they were when they first heard about the attack in New York and then in Pennsylvania and then in Washington, D.C. It is still very close to those who lived through it in terms of being in those communities, on those sites, working in those areas. I have a friend from college who lives in New York City who actually works at the World Trade Center, or did work at the World Trade Center, not at one of the Twin Towers, but at the American Express building, which has kind of a pyramid top, if you know that general area. And he doesn't talk about 9/11. He doesn't want to talk about 9/11. He appreciates that people have an emotion with it and a tie to it, but it is much different for him as someone who lost coworkers and friends in that situation. So if you encounter someone who lived through 9/11 and truly lived it, ran through the dirt, helped those around them, was injured, whatever the case may be, no matter how many years, moments, seconds have passed, it is still something that is their own, and how they deal with it and how they handle it is it's their thing. So don't judge them on if they want to talk about it or not. Just simply tell them that you're thinking of them and wish them the best, and that can be something very powerful in itself. We're going to take a break, come back with your forecast for the weekend along with local news. We'll get into sports in a little bit, and don't forget Chalk Talk at the bottom of the hour if you're catching us Friday night. Bloomington High School South at Bloomington High School North. It's the intercity rivalry coming up in just a little bit. If you're catching us on Saturday, though, full show Saturday. We'll be back in a couple moments. Stay with me here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here with you on your Friday night, and it is high school boys football coming up in just a little bit if you're catching us for the live show. Tonight, Bloomington High School South heads to Bloomington High School North for the inter-city rivalry. 6:30 Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock kickoff tonight, and then we'll have a full show available for you on Saturday from 8 to 9 in the morning, right before Your Money with David Hayes. Your forecast for the weekend, a little bit wet, but it's drying out and should be a little bit nicer. Friday night, tonight, showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm as well. Mostly cloudy, a low around 70. Showers likely again on Saturday morning, and possibly a thunderstorm early in the morning with a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the midday, high near 79. 30% chance of rain and thunderstorms on Saturday night before 9 p.m., low around 53. And on Sunday, sunny with a high near 75. Early next week, a little bit of a slight chance of rain on Tuesday, but Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the temperatures look like they will be in the mid-70s to low 80s. So fairly nice, comfortable weather, nice break from this 90-degree heat, which we will talk about here in just a little bit. Of course, all your weather all the time right here at WGCLradio.com. Talking about the weather forecast leads into our first story of the evening, and I think that Indiana, this time of year, people are often prone to opening up a front door, locking the screen door, or leaving it unlocked, opening up windows, letting the fresh air in, especially on the weekends when you're home and working, or maybe outside, or maybe running a couple of errands. Unfortunately, you may want to rethink that idea, and you need to double check the locks in your home, your windows, everything. From the HT this week, a masked man has been terrorizing women, breaking into their unlocked homes and sneaking into their bedrooms as they sleep. And in some cases, the man has tried to sexually assault these women. Investigators believe the intrusions and attempted sexual assaults, three from Thursday morning, one from Monday this week, are connected and have been perpetrated by a single suspect who is still on the loose. There's going to be a lot of extra patrols. That is a guarantee, according to BPD Lieutenant Brad Safers on Thursday afternoon. Here's a breakdown of what's taken place in the last several days. At 2:15 in the morning, officers responded to their first of three reports on Thursday of burglaries and attempted sexual assaults. The first incident happened in the 500 block of East 2nd Street, south of IU's campus. A 20-year-old woman said she awoke in bed to find a masked man standing over her. She told police the man asked her to take off her clothes or he would kill her. He then attempted to remove her clothes. The woman screamed, fought back, causing the man to flee the residence. Second incident took place in the 1300 block of South Washington Street at about 5 a.m. on Thursday. A barking dog alerted a 33-year-old woman to a masked man standing outside her bedroom door. He ran, she told police. An hour later Thursday morning, police went to a Regency Court apartment in the 400 block of East Melrose Avenue. A 22-year-old woman said she awoke to a masked man crouched to her bed, next to her bed. She screamed, and again, the intruder fled. That's three incidents in a not even a 12-hour window, ladies and gentlemen. Monday morning's report of a break-in and attempted sexual assault happened between 4:30 and 5 in the morning. That was also at Regency Court Apartments, 1600 South Henderson Street. A 20-year-old woman awoke on a friend's couch to find a masked man touching her leg. The man told her to take off her clothes. She pulled the mask off his head instead, and as she struggled with him, he grabbed the mask back and ran out the back door. Here's the key sentence in this report from the HT, from BPD Captain Steve Kellums. In each incident, the victim's home was entered through an unlocked door. In each incident, the victim's home was entered through an unlocked door. Excuse me. The intruder is being described in all four cases as a white male in his mid to late 20s, thin build, standing approximately 5'11" to 6'1" tall. The woman from Monday's intrusion described the mask as having a white skull face and being made out of a black stretchable fabric. All of these incidents are part of a bigger problem that we have been experiencing locally. We had the Monday burglary and rape report at Knight's Landing, which is up near Denny's on the north side of Bloomington. A 24-year-old woman told investigators she awoke to find a strange man standing over her bed 5:30 Monday morning at her apartment in the 2000 block of North Walnut Street. She told police she was raped by a man who had a southern accent who threatened to kill her if she did not roll over, and then he tied her hands behind her back. Monroe County investigators hope blood evidence will identify a suspect in another case of the Highland Village burglary and attempted sexual assault that happened on the afternoon of August 25th in the 4100 block of West 3rd Street. We also had the incident that took place on the pathway in Winslow Woods adjacent to the YMCA's paved track on a rainy Tuesday midday. That woman fought the man who grabbed her and sent him running. And then there was also an incident in the 7400 block of West Hodge Lane. A woman said she was sexually assaulted at about 1:30 in the afternoon on a Saturday, August 6th. All of this, ladies and gentlemen, is a lot to take in for anyone. And the best thing that I can tell you again, and I am not an expert at this by a long shot, the best thing I can tell you is what I told you at the start of this segment. You need to check your doors. You need to check your windows. You need to know your neighbors. The reason I say that is because if you live alone, if you don't live alone, but you have a tendency to be alone because your spouse may travel or you work different shifts, whatever the case may be, if there is an emergency, you need to know that you can holler, scream, yell, whatever the case may be, in some attempt to get somebody in your area to hear you. There is the old saying of taking your car keys with you to bed. And if you have a car alarm, that if something does happen, hit that alarm button, if at all possible, to do something to startle that that burglar, that suspect, that criminal. Anything you can. There are self-defense classes in this community that are available for a variety of audiences, women, men, young, old, whatever the case may be. Highly encourage you to check that out. But please, 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 if anything, be smart. If you're going to be at home and you're going to be working on a Saturday and you're working by yourself because your husband has the kids and they're running errands and going to the big box store for whatever and doing this and doing that, and you said you're going to stay home and do the laundry, watch your windows, watch your doors. Unfortunately, this is the way of the world right now, and it's scary. It's very scary, and I hope that our listeners take this to heart, that I genuinely care about the safety of everybody, and please, please, please be proactive in protecting yourself. We're going to take a break because I need to take a break after that conversation. When we come back, we'll get you some more news and then lead you up into Chalk Talk on a Friday night. Stay with me right here on a Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review, and we'll hit you up with a couple more news stories before we head into Chalk Talk with Joe Smith and the crew at the bottom of the hour. In the second half hour, if you are catching us on Friday night, we'll be going into Chalk Talk, as I mentioned. Tune in on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock for the full show. We'll talk in the next couple of segments about I-69 and the news with Mayor Hamilton earlier in the week. And then we'll also have a full sports preview for you on the Saturday morning show starting at 8 a.m. right here on WGCL. The Monroe County Council has approved funding for four projects identified in the long-range stormwater improvement plan to help reduce flooding issues. On Tuesday this week, the council reviewed a $1.5 million public works stormwater budget as it continued its 2017 county budget hearings. Public Works Director Lisa Ridge said the changes from last year's budget include new projects, on-call contracting services that would allow the county to contract work with an outside vendor in cases where limitations such as equipment prevent work from being done in-house. Also, a remote monitoring program for roadway flooding at various sites around the county, and preliminary design work to reduce flooding issues along Stipp Road and along South Fernwood Drive near Curry Pike. Now, these projects are part of a long-range plan, the Stormwater Management Plan the board approved in January. Councilman Jeff McKim said the Stormwater Management Board was waiting on the long-range plan before moving forward on projects that will be paid for from the stormwater fees collected. Ridge said that the Stormwater Management Board has a little more than $2.2 million saved. Owners of property in unincorporated areas of Monroe County are assessed a stormwater fee based in part on the amount of runoff expected from each developed parcel of land. The fee is used to maintain infrastructure, such as storm sewers, pipes, and ditches, and is listed on landowners' property tax bill. Bloomington residents pay a separate stormwater fee. Has it felt a little bit warm to you? Because it has to me over the last few weeks. From USA Today, nights provided no relief from the heat this summer. While days were certainly hot across the U.S., it was endless parade of sultry, I like saying that word, sultry, swampy nights that set an all-time record. The summer of 2016 recorded hotter nights than any summer since records began back in 1895. That's according to data released on Thursday by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The national average low temperature rested at a balmy 60.8 degrees. That's about 2.4 degrees above the average, according to climate scientist Jake Crouch, who is with NOAA's National Centers for Environmental Information. Meteorologists define summer as the year's warmest months, of course, June, July, and August. The reason for the nighttime swelter, especially on the east side of the United States, was unusually high levels of humidity due to a persistent flow of moisture-laden air off the Gulf of Mexico and the Atlantic Ocean. That, again, comes from climate scientist Jake Crouch. Temperatures don't drop as much at night when the atmosphere is humid. Overall, when day and night temperatures were factored in, the summer of 2016 tied with 2006 for the fifth hottest summer on record in the United States. Only the summers of 1936, 2012, 2011, and 1934 were hotter. And three states, California, Rhode Island, and Connecticut, were record warm this summer. No states in the union saw a cooler than average season. And so far, 2016, the U.S. is experiencing its third warmest year on record. No, I am not mentioning anything about climate change or ice caps or anything along those lines. I'm simply telling you what our friends at USA Today have to say. It is about time to roll out for Chalk Talk. Joe Smith will have the lowdown and insight on everything coming up with the inner-city rivalry coming up in just a few minutes. Bloomington High School South at Bloomington High School North. Again, Chalk Talk right after us here, 6:30 at the bottom of the hour on Friday, and then a 7 o'clock kick for that game. Tonight, also, Edgewood welcomes Owen Valley. They've got their own rivalry out there at the Mustang Corral as well. And, of course, if you want to catch up on the scores and everything, Joe Smith will be on with Glass next Monday morning, 7:45 and 8:45 on Glass in the Morning. Next Friday here on WGCL, Bloomington North at Terre Haute North. Chalk Talk at 7 for that game, kickoff at 7:30. We're going to take a break, come back with more on a Saturday morning. But if you're catching us Friday night, high school boys football, coming up in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned right here at WGCL Radio. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review on a Saturday morning. Jim Inman here with you, and thank you so much for waking up with us here. It is the second half of the program, and I say that because if you're catching us, if you caught us on Friday night, this part only airs on Saturday morning because we have Chalk Talk with Joe Smith. So welcome back. Trying to find a positive note because as I was prepping for the show and with all of this commotion and everything surrounding I-69, and not just, it is in the most recent days, but in the general scheme of things for so long, the entire process and everything, it's really worn people out. And the frustration of simply trying to get to Martinsville, to get to Indianapolis, to get to Lafayette, to get to Fort Wayne, to get anywhere north of Bloomington is it's a challenge, and I don't know how else to say it. And when there have been continued issues of speeding and feeling unsafe traveling on the roads, then you have the reports of the financial issues that are occurring with all of this. You just don't know how much more to take. And as many people heard, last Friday was a very serious accident that sent 8 people to the hospital. Took place at Sample Road and Indiana Highway 37. That is up in the area just south of Worms Way and Oliver Winery. Mayor Hamilton had a conversation, had a press conference earlier this week to talk about these issues and everything, and held the press conference near where that accident took place. And ironically, where Hamilton's press conference was on Wednesday was very close to the scene of a second accident that took place that morning, causing a Bloomington man to go to the hospital for his injuries there as well. According to the HT this week, continued construction delays on Section 5 of I-69 have prompted Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton and other area representatives to call for state government intervention. The mayor said during a Wednesday morning press conference at the mentioned, as I mentioned earlier, East Sample Road and Highway 37, near where a serious crash on Friday took place. This press conference took place Wednesday morning. The mayor said, quote, "My first job as mayor is public safety. The seemingly ever-delayed nature of this construction and the danger it poses to travelers are unacceptable." The mayor's appeal comes just days after Kreider & Kreider Incorporated, a contractor responsible for earth-moving operations related to the project, ceased work due to Isolex Corson USA, the contractor in charge of the project under a contract with I-69 Development Partners. They did not meet payment deadlines. This also follows a letter from Indiana State Representative Matt Pierce that the Bloomington Democrat had delivered to Governor Mike Pence's office and his suggestion that the Indiana Department of Transportation, more commonly known as NDOT, reclaim the project rather than continue with the public-private partnership with the development partners. Officials with I-69 Development Partners told the Herald Times back in May that contract disputes earlier this year between Isolex and its subcontractors had halted some work on the Section 5 project. Now, the Section 5 is the piece that impacts us primarily. It is the part that runs from south of Bloomington up to Martinsville. But they said back in May that that halt had been resolved. But the expected completion date for that project was moved from October 2016, yeah, that's next month, to June 28th, 2017. So add 7-10 months to that or so. And despite the ongoing issues, the HT goes on, Jim Stark, who is the deputy commissioner with the Indiana Department of Transportation, told the Herald Times in August that the target completion date remained the same. He visited the HT, along with State Department of Transportation spokesman Will Wingfield, to discuss I-69 Development Partners' decision to issue notices of default to Isolux. The notices gave Isolux 20 days to address payment issues and 60 days to address scheduling issues. Then on Tuesday this week, the Indiana Finance Authority issued a notice of non-performance against I-69 Development Partners after confirming that at least one subcontractor on Section 5, again, that's us, was owed more than $2.3 million by Isolex Corson. Hamilton had asked the State Transportation Agency and its private partner to update local officials on the project last month during a public meeting of the Bloomington Monroe County Metropolitan Planning Organization. And Hamilton said the responses he'd received had been bureaucratic in nature, with the state talking about monitoring the situation, instructing the contractor to manage the process, or implementing the terms of the contract. During the press conference, Hamilton and Pierce also voiced concern about continued maintenance of the road, which, under the state contract, falls to the I-69 development partners for the next several decades. This includes everything from snow removal in the winter to filling potholes in the summer. So somebody is responsible here. And I don't know who. It's a he said, she said, they said, where are they at, and all that other stuff. If I recall correctly, Isilux is based in Spain. So they are not up the road like your friendly neighborhood grocer or your favorite little restaurant or anything. They aren't quite nearby. In a separate article from the HT, construction contractors on Section 5 of I-69 are owed more than $9 million, and it's not clear why they're not being paid. The Indiana Finance Authority sold more than $250 million worth of tax-exempt private activity bonds to help finance the $3.25 million project in July 2014. That money is held in a bank at in a trust at U.S. Bank, according to an email from Jim Stark. We mentioned his name a few moments ago. He's the State Finance Authority Director of Public-Private Partnerships. Money from that trust is released to I-69 development partners on a monthly basis. Attempts to find out what happened to that money after that point and why it has not been paid to construction contractors, including Kreider and Kreider, which is owed more than $2.3 million, let's throw that out there yet again, have been unsuccessful. Those attempts to find out why what has happened to the money has been unsuccessful. According to the HT, what is supposed to happen is that I-69 development partners use the money from the trust to pay Isilux Corson. They are the contractor hired for this project. Then Isilux is supposed to pay the subcontractors it hired for things such as earth moving and overpass construction. Again, I love this sentence. Clearly, that's not happening. And the State Finance Authority has issued a notice of non-performance to the I-69 development partners. The situation constitutes a breach of contract, and the State Finance Authority could hold I-69 development partners in default as early as next week, according to an email from Wingfield, who we mentioned a little bit ago. Should I-69 development partners default, the state has several options, including using the money from the trust to pay construction contractors such as Kreider and Kreider directly. Now, I-69 partners, development partners, they've already tried to remedy the issue by issuing its own default notices to Isilux. So what it reads is that we can't pay you because we aren't getting paid by them. But the person who needs the money doesn't care where the money's coming from. They just want their money. Two separate notices were issued August 3rd, one regarding payment issues, the other regarding a revised completion schedule for the project. Isilux has 20 days to address the payment issues and 60 days, as we mentioned, to address the scheduling issues. The new payment issue was addressed, but a third default notice issued August 25th cited new payment issues. The bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, as we all know, it's a flipping mess. I went to my cousin's wedding a couple weeks ago. She got married on the east side of, actually wasn't truly the east side of Indianapolis. She got married east of Indianapolis, about 20, 25 minutes east. 3 o'clock as you're looking at the 465 dial. Little town. And so I left Bloomington on a Friday. I was in the wedding. Left Bloomington at 3, maybe 3:15 at the latest, somewhere in there. And my GPS tells me an hour and 20 minutes to get there. Not too bad. You know, the typical drive up 37, get on 465, take a left, or take a right, excuse me. Then when you get up to 3 o'clock on the dial, take a right again, head out east on 70, you're boom, you're where you need to be. So that's what I did. My travel to said venue for the wedding was 3 hours long. I was actually walking in the door just as the rehearsal was about to begin. There was a 45-minute delay getting between Bloomington and Martinsville. Then there was the delay getting onto 465 because of traffic and because people were cutting around trying to get in just to get a little bit ahead of the next person around them. Then there was construction on 70. All of that doesn't really matter. My point being, you don't have to be a commuter to be really ticked off about this situation. If you are going to if you're going to fly out for vacation and you need to get to the airport, yes, you can go the back way, if you will, head over through Ellensville to Spencer and up 67. Yeah, that's perfectly fine and an option, but that's not the most direct route, if you will. If you want to go to a Colts game this fall, do you think that that situation on 69/37 is going to hamper your travel? You bet. You think about what we had last night here in Bloomington, the high school football games, and we get into high school basketball. If you have teams that are traveling down from Martinsville even, or from up around Indianapolis coming down here, is that going to be impacting their travel time and what time the games play and if they have to cut out of school early and things like that? Absolutely. My point being, we are in a really nasty situation with all of this travel stuff right now. And I am grateful to Mayor Hamilton for stepping up to the plate and saying, it's done. It's enough. I'm tired of it. We need to get this fixed right now, especially with the number of wrecks that have taken place just in the last week. Buckle up, as the old saying goes. Buckle up for safety. Slow down if you travel 465, excuse me. If anywhere you travel, slow down, but especially on this I-69 through all of these construction zones and things. Yes, you can get a little bit of road rage when you see orange barrels and vehicles sitting there and you're wondering why in the world is nothing moving. But you don't want to be one of those people in the 8-car pileup. You don't want to be one of those people who was injured when a semi hits you. I'm not laying fault or blame or pointing fingers at the situation. I don't know who was at fault of the accident, if anybody was at fault. My point being, slow down. You'll get where you need to go. Plan ahead. Think ahead. Leave a little bit early. Whatever you need to do, just please be safe. Please, please, please be safe. Let's take you to some sports action after the break. Stay with me. Let's talk some sports, ladies and gentlemen. Let's first start you off with Reds baseball. It's always available right here at WGCL Radio. The Reds have a game Saturday night, tonight, 7:05 against Pittsburgh. Then the boys have a couple days off, and then they welcome Milwaukee to Cincinnati Tuesday and Wednesday next week. Those games will start just after local programming here on WGCL, 7 o'clock p.m. for those. And then next Saturday, the 17th, Pittsburgh comes to Cincinnati. So they'll see them tonight, and then Pittsburgh returns the favor next weekend. On the high school football scene, as you know, it is Friday night when we're doing the show. So I don't have a score of the Bloomington High School South game when they welcomed when they went to Bloomington High School North, excuse me. I don't know about the Edgewood game when Owen Valley came to town as well. All of that information can be found Monday morning, 7:45 and 8:45 with Joe Smith and Mike Glasscott on Glass in the Morning. Next Friday, as we mentioned, though, Bloomington North will head to Terre Haute North. That game will be at 7:30, which means Chalk Talk at 7 p.m. Full show Friday next week here on the station. So make sure that you turn in to the Bloomington Review, and we will guide you right in to Chalk Talk next Friday evening here on the station. Hoosiers had a nice win in Florida last week. They had a win at Florida International, 34-13. And this weekend, well, today, I've got to get my days right. It's this whole short show Friday. I'm not into the scene just yet. Their first home game is today, Saturday the 10th, 4 o'clock against Ball State. There'll be a lot of red at Memorial Stadium today, so best of luck to the Hoosiers in their first game here in at Memorial Stadium for this season. The Indianapolis Colts football, right here on WGCL. The Colts have their regular season first game on Sunday, September 11th, here on WGCL. The Detroit Lions come to Indianapolis. Tune in around 3:30 here for the pregame for that. And then on the state scene, let's get back to basketball here. Number one, James Blackman has been cleared to practice with the Indiana Hoosiers after undergoing surgery to repair a torn ACL in his right knee back in January. IU coach Tom Crean told the HT this week that Blackman is a full participant in the team's current conditioning and strength training regimes. That puts Blackman on course to be ready for preseason practice next month and ultimately IU's season opener against Kansas on November 11th. Hard to believe that's not that far away, and they will be playing at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. Crean said that Blackman is cleared. We mix his workouts up with small group work that isolates his skills and improvement. He's played one-on-one and some four-on-four as well. If you will recall, Blackman originally suffered the injury to his knee in practice prior to Indiana's Big Ten opener at Rutgers on December 30th. He underwent successful surgery a week later and was ruled out for the remainder of the season. At the time, he was IU's second leading scorer, averaging almost 16 points per game. Also at that point in January, he was third among Big Ten players with 2.8 made three-pointers per game and seventh in three-point field goal percentage. So hopefully this one will stick for quite a while and no more injuries. It's the third one he's had in the last few years. He also tore the ACL in his left knee in high school and required a procedure to repair the meniscus in his left knee last July. So hopefully Mr. Blackman is back in full service, ready to go by the time the Hoosiers start up in October. The Indiana Pacers announced on Thursday they've signed former Hoosier Nick Zeisloft, who gave IU a three-point threat off the bench during the past two seasons. Terms of Zeisloft's deal were not announced by the Pacers, but apparently he will get $25,000 guaranteed on a one-year rookie contract that comes from VigilantSports.com. The deal could open a door for Zeisloft to join the Pacers' D-League affiliate up in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He was not selected to play in the NBA Summer League and had only one pre-draft workout with the Dallas Mavericks back in June. He arrived at Indiana University as a graduate transfer from Illinois State during the summer of 2014, averaged 6.6 points per game in his two seasons with IU. And according to KenPom.com, Zeisloft closed last season as the eighth most efficient offensive player in the country. So best of luck to him. And one more note about the Hoosiers and their travels as a basketball team. New York City will become a home away from home for Indiana basketball during the next couple of years. IU will participate in the 2017 2K Sports Classic and the 2018 Jimmy V Classic, according to a program spokesperson. Both events will be played at Madison Square Garden in the Big Apple. The Big Ten tournament will also be held at the same arena at the conclusion of the 2017-2018 season. According to CBS Sports, Providence, Virginia Tech, and Washington will join IU in next year's 2K Classic field. Indianapolis Star reports IU will face North Carolina in the Jimmy V field. Now, the last time IU played in the Jimmy V Classic was December 2014. They lost to Louisville 94-74. The Hoosiers also participated in the 2K Sports Classic during the 2013 non-conference season, beating Washington and falling against Connecticut. So nice to have the Hoosiers on the road a little bit and hearing some good news out of that camp. And finally, for Dr. Piller, since he is not here, I do want to remind everybody, now that school is back in session across the board in Bloomington, Monroe County, Ellettsville, whatever you want to look at it, make sure that you check out high school sports. Joe Smith does a great job talking with a variety of athletes, not just at the college level, but on the local level as well. Tuesday nights here on WGCL, Joe Smith Reports, 6 p.m. for that. And there is some great stuff going on with a lot of local athletes. So check that out. Hit us up at WGCLradio.com. You can keep up with what's going on, what's on the schedule for Joe Smith. You can also listen to past shows as well. Excuse me, I need a drink of water. And don't forget, 2 weeks ago, Joe had our three IU Hoosier Olympians on the show, and that is available to listen anytime you would like at WGCLradio.com. And they have some great stories, and really excited that Joe was able to get them all together for that conversation. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up the show. Stay with me here on the Bloomington Review. Just a few minutes left in the program. Thanks for starting your weekend off here on the Bloomington Review with the Bloomington Review here on WGCL. I apologize for getting a little long-winded there earlier, but this whole I-69 thing, and then you've got all these issues with people being attacked and everything. It just, we need to, anyway. All right, your forecast for the weekend, a little bit wet, but it'll be nice and cool, ladies and gentlemen. Today, Saturday, showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm throughout this early morning, and then more than a chance throughout the rest of the day, high near 79. Tonight, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 9 p.m., low around 53. And on Sunday, sunny with a high near 75. There's a slight chance of rain on Tuesday next week, but Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the temperatures will all be in the highs of the mid-70s to low 40s. We're just starting to get a taste of fall in southern Indiana. Of course, all your weather all the time right here at WGCL Radio, and of course, WGCLRadio.com. Alzheimer's.com. Hopefully Dana Thompson will be in the studio next week. She is part of the Walk to End Alzheimer's leadership team, and we will be talking about that with her. That takes place next weekend on the 18th. But our friend Julie Warren from Visit Bloomington always gives us some good stuff to think about and know for weekend activities here in Bloomington. I mentioned this right at the start of the show, but it is the Kiwanis Indiana Balloon Fest this weekend. Gates open up at 6 a.m. Friday, today, Saturday, and Sunday. And I mentioned this early on again. Go out for the balloon liftoffs early in the morning. Great to see it. There are tethered rides available on a variety of balloons. You can also check out the Night Glow tonight, Saturday night. There is music. There's a car show. There's a 5K run walk. There's fireworks. There's health and safety fair, food vendors, all kinds of good stuff. You can get a carload in for $17, or individual tickets are $10. Again, all of this takes place out at the Monroe County Fairgrounds on the west side of Bloomington. It is also Hoosier football kickoff official this weekend. Ball State comes to town 4 o'clock p.m. for that kick out at Memorial Stadium. Tickets are still available at iuhoosiers.com. Chuck Crabb, as always, checks in with Mike Glascon on Friday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. So you can head out to get a great tailgate in as we start off football season here at IU. And then Close Encounters of the Third Kind, a director's cut, is available on Saturday at 3 p.m. The 1977, oh my gosh, it's almost 40 years old. It's Steven Spielberg's sci-fi classic. Richard Dreyfuss is in there. John Williams, who is the composer for many of the, or all of the Star Wars films, was nominated for 8 Academy Awards. This is taking place at the IU Cinema on East 7th Street. It is a free event, but you need to get there and get a ticket. So check that out. Again, all of this is available at visitbloomington.com. And hopefully people will be participating in that. Plus, as we get into fall, the pumpkin stuff begins. The good food begins. Not that we don't have good food in the summer, but now we're getting into the good food. You know what I'm talking about. You do. So just get out and enjoy it. And the last thing I will say, because this has been a little bit of a downer show because of all the news and everything like that, go out, try and spread some positivity. There was a beautiful sunrise Thursday morning across Bloomington, and a lot of people were putting pictures up on social media. You know, smile, meet your neighbors next time you go outside. Do one of those pay it forwards at the drive-thru and buy somebody's coffee behind you, or their breakfast or their lunch, whatever the case may be. We need some positivity in the world right now, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, I kind of like that lady, the Chewbacca mom, who just laughed and giggled several months back when she got that Chewbacca mask and has made it all over the world. I mean, you got to find some positive in things. As down as things can be and as challenging as things can be, you still need to look for the positive in any way that you possibly can. And if it's here one night a week, one morning a week, whatever, on the Bloomington Review, I'm glad you're tuning in right here. Everybody stay safe, smile, and we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.